Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of Trust, our Apostolic Church Congregation, and I'm Dr. Ross, out of New York, Texas. Today is July 6, 2019, now it is the fourth day of 2023. We're going to start our first service on this Sabbath day of the song entitled Wonderful Peace. In the depths of my spirit tonight, for the love is seen in song, as the lust for our strength can cease and leap off, for my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Keep in my spirit forever, I pray, in boundless depths of love. For a treasure on this wonderful peace, very deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can bear away. For the ends of eternity roll, this day wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet Father, my spirit, forever I pray, when God must give us love. I must unite on this wonderful peace, rest in sweet in Yahshua's control, for I'm kept from all danger by night and by day, and His glory is a flood in my soul. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father of God. Sweet Father, my spirit, forever I pray, in boundless depths of love. And He thinks when I rise to the city of peace, for the end of peace I shall see. Have a strength of the sun, the blossom will sing. Let heavenly kingdom will be. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Keep all of my spirit forever I pray, in boundless doors of love. Also are you here with that trumpet of rest, marching down the pathway of time. Make the Yahshua your friend, the shadows grow dark. Oh, set this peace so sublime. Peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Keep all my spirit forever I pray, and find the most beautiful of love.
Is Jesus really God? This is the title of our subject today, compiled by the Alan DeLong compilation in 2001 to 2002 to 2003. He didn't put a date on it. Doesn't matter, but it's around 2002, 2003. And we're going to do this compilation. Alan did a good job on research, on the research of this. And it's very valuable. We need to know this information because this is the message that we're going to have to launch right now for the second greatest calling that I've had since 1970. And my second greatest calling is now. And my first subject is Jesus really God? I'm using those pagan terms because this is the way that the Gentiles and the Jews will understand it. I'm talking about the Orthodox Jew, the Greek Orthodox Jew. I'm not talking about the Apostolic Sabbatarian congregation, Israelites that are descendants from the 12 tribes of Israel, the seed of Abraham. I'm talking about those descendants from the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the cross, the Judaizers they call them, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, publicans. Okay, that's enough said about that. Is Jesus really God? In the order for the knowing of the truth of this most important question, we must search the scriptures, for therein is found the evidences of our faith. But however much one may advance in the spiritual life, he will never come unto a point where he will not need diligently for the searching of the scriptures, for therein are found the evidences of our faith. And anytime we use this faith, I'm going to insert in parentheses my own comment, and that is every place possible where that word faith is printed. I'm going to follow it up with the word blood of the everlasting covenant, or the blood and the faith in the blood of Yahshua. Whenever I say parentheses, then you're going to know that I'm adding my personal comment. Let's do that again. But however much may advance in the spiritual life, he will never come unto a point where he will not need diligently for the searching of the scriptures, for therein is found the evidences of our faith, parentheses, and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua of the New Testament and the Old Testament. Both Testaments dovetailing together into what we call the everlasting covenant today, only one. For all points of the doctrine, even though they have been accepted as the truth, should be brought unto the law and unto the testimony. If they cannot stand this test, there is no light in them. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 575 by the Ellen G. White. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according unto this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Thus we will take all the points of the doctrine unto the law and unto the testimony to see if there is really any light in them. We will also go by the way of the evidence to prove all things. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. For the Satan has the ability for the suggesting of the doubts and for the devising of the objections for the pointed testimony that the Yahweh sends, and many think it as a virtue or a mark of the intelligence in them. For the unbelieving and for the questioning and the quibble, for those who desire to doubt will have plenty of room. Yahweh does not propose to remove all occasion for the unbelief. He gives evidence which must be carefully investigated with the humble mind and a teachable spirit, and all should decide from the weight of the evidence. The Yahweh gives sufficient evidence for the candid mind to believe, but he who turns from the weight of the evidence, because there are a few things which he cannot make plain unto his finite understanding, will be left in the cold, chilling atmosphere of the unbelief and questioning doubts, and will make shipwreck of the faith. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 675 and 6. We will also use all the scriptures, for therein is found the evidences of our faith, (parentheses) in the blood of the everlasting covenant, and we will invoke the inspiration of the Almighty. So that would mean the Almighty, (parentheses), that's talking about the Father. The inspiration is only, the word inspiration is only mentioned twice in the Bible. And that's in Job 32:8, and I believe in 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I believe that's right. That would be 2 Timothy 3:16, where the word inspiration is mentioned as well. Job 32:8 and 2 Timothy 3:16, the word of inspiration is only given in all the scriptures. Continuing now, it says that there is a spirit in the man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That's Job 32:8. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto the salvation through the faith, (parentheses), and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, which is in the Yahshua. It actually says within the Christ Jesus here, so I'll just call that the Yahshua. All scripture is given by the inspiration of the Father, and is profitable for the doctrine, and for reproof, for the correction, for the instruction in the righteousness, that the man of the Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but by the holy men of Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:19-21. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of the truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, so he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:13. Where did this doctrine originate? That's our question. This belief that Yahshua is, that Jesus is the very God, which you know that I'm going to use a sacred name, (parentheses), Yahshua is the very Yahweh, the Father, is pretty much accepted by all the Seventh-day Adventists and all so-called Protestant denominations, though they quit protesting a long time ago. So to begin with, we will quote from the book Seventh-day Adventist Answers Questions on Doctrine. This book came about as a result of the SDA General Conference leadership having meetings with the evangelical leaders Donald Barnhouse and Martin, Walter Martin, back in the 1950s, in an attempt to get rid of the stigma that they were a cult organization and to be more conformed unto the mainline Protestant denomination. However, there was an Adventist leader named M. L. Andreessen who protested vehemently against this book being printed, and he wrote 6 letters of a warning, an admonition unto the leadership, and I have those 6 letters. If they print it in this book, and it, let's read it again. Here, however, there was an Adventist leader, M. L. Andreessen, who protested vehemently against this book being printed, and he wrote 6 letters of warning and admonition unto the leadership if they printed this book. Actually, this is a misprint. He wrote six letters of warning and admonition unto the leadership, Seventh-day Adventist leadership, that if they printed this book, okay, he put a period there. This is typographical error. And he stated that the SDA leadership printed this book. If they printed this book, it would sound a death knell for the church. Well, has this prophecy come true? We shall see. He asked, well, I should put a comma there. Has this prophecy come true? Question mark. We shall see. To begin with, we will start with the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventists on page 11. Belief, number one, that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament were given by the inspiration of Yahweh, contain an all-sufficient revelation of his will to men, and are the only unerring rule of the faith and practice, 2 Timothy 3:15-17. A reference which is also quoted in this tract, are they lying or are they telling the truth? Belief number two, that the Godhead or Trinity consists of the Eternal Father, a personal, spiritual being. For the Yahweh Yahshua Messiah, as the Son of the Eternal One, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, Matthew 28:19. Thus we see by this book that SDA state that they believe in the Trinity, even though Matthew 28:19 does not use the word Trinity, neither does it use the word Godhead. Belief number three, that the Jesus Christ is very God. Now I'm using these pagan terms that was used so that it won't confuse the people as they read this article, because the whole world is familiar with these pagan terms, and they understand them a lot better than using the sacred names at this time. But I can tell you the sacred name of Yahshua Christ, Jesus Christ, would be Yahshua, number one, and Christ is a title that took the place of the title Messiah in the Paleo-Hebrew, Messiah, just as the title. Yahshua is the name, and God is the Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. So it'd be Yahshua, Messiah, and God, when we use Jesus Christ and God, being of the same nature and essence as the Eternal Father, while returning his divine nature, or the nature of the Adam, before he sinned, he took upon himself the nature of the human family, lived on the earth as a man, died for our sins on the cross, was raised from the dead, and ascended to the Father, where he ever lives, to make intercession for us, John 1:1-14, Hebrews 2:9-18, Hebrews 8:1-2, Hebrews 4:14-16, and Hebrews 7:25. If Jesus died for our sins on the cross, why did he need to make intercession for us in heaven? Question. It is obvious that the authors of this book have none understanding of the heavenly sanctuary system. Thus we see right here that the Seventh-day Adventists believe that the Jesus Christ is the very God, the Father. Jesus Christ the Son is the very God, the Father. For this doctrine crept into the Seventh-day Adventist Church back in the 1950s. With the publishing of the book Questions on Doctrine. So how can we prove whether this doctrine is true or false? Well, we must take the counsel that is given unto us in the spirit of prophecy, which says, all points of the doctrine, even though they have been accepted as the truth, should be brought unto the law and unto the testimony. If they cannot ascend this test, there is no light in them. 5T. This is Testimony, Volume 5, page 575, and that is just what we will do. We will take this doctrine, which states that Yahshua Messiah, or Jesus Christ, is the very God, to Isaiah 8:20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. For the book of the law, what is the law? And what is the testimony? You can read more about this in our creation calendar, but to be sustenance, I will tell you this. For the testimony is the Ten Commandments, written by the Yahweh on the two tables of the stone. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him up on Mount Sinai, two tables of the testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of the Yahweh, Exodus 31:18. And the Ten Commandments are the testimony. Then what is the law? It is the book of the law of the Moses, or the law of the Yahweh written by the Moses and put in the book. And it came to pass when the Moses had made an end of the writing of the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that the Moses commanded the Levites which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Yahweh, it says Lord here, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Yahweh, your Elohim, that it may be therefore a witness against thee, Deuteronomy 31:24-26. All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto the Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of the Moses, which Yahweh had commanded unto Israel. So they read in the book and the law of the Yahweh distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading, Nehemiah 8:1-8. Here we see that the book of the law of the Moses and the book of the law of Yahweh is one and the same book, and that it is kept in the side part of the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place as a witness against the Israel of today. Thus it is Yahweh's law, and he commanded unto Moses, and Moses wrote it in a book, and this law was not nailed unto the cross. But it is still in the force, and it is binding upon the souls of mankind today. Now that we have established what the law and the testimony is, we shall use it to prove all things. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, that this do, and thou shalt live. Luke 10:25-28. Here we see that a certain lawyer wanted to know what he must do to obtain eternal life. Yahshua answered, was a question, what is written in the law of the Moses, and how do you interpret it? And what did the lawyer do? He quoted Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment, which Yahweh your Elohim commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Yahweh the Elohim, that this is the Lord thy God, according to this writing, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as Yahweh Elohim of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with the milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Yahweh our Elohim is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:1-5. Now that you understand what the pagan terms for the Father and the Son are, I'm going to start using the sacred name in the place of these pagan terms. For the Moses is here telling the children of Israel to keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, and to observe to do them for the generations to come, that ye might have long life. And so what is the first commandment that Moses gives them? The Lord our God, which is Yahweh our Elohim, is one Lord, one Yahweh. Right there. There is only one Lord God, the one Yahweh Elohim. That just blows the Trinitarian doctrine to smithereens. And the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Yahshua answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Yahshua, the Lord our God is one Lord. In other words, the Yahweh our Elohim is one Yahweh. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Yahshua saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, in other words, of the Father, Yahweh. And no man after that durst ask him any question, Mark 12:28-34. Thus, according to Yahshua, the first great commandment is, The Lord our God, or the Yahweh our Elohim, is one Yahweh. And he quotes it straight from the law of Moses. And the scribe backs him up by saying, Thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And we are to love the one and only true God, the true Yahweh, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves is the second great commandment. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yahshua said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22:36-40. Thus everything in the scripture is established upon the fact that the Lord our God is one Lord. Or as we say in the sacred name, with the sacred name, the Yahweh our Elohim is the one Yahweh. And now we see that there are 12 commandments and not just 10. Does the New Testament agree with the law of the prophets? Do the New Testament writers of the scripture agree with the book of the law, or do they teach that Yahshua is God, or Jesus is God, and there are three gods in the heaven today? Let us examine the fact. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in the earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of which are all things, and we in Him, the one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. 1 Corinthians 8:5-6. For the God and Father of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, let's do it again, for the Yahweh and the Father of our Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. 2 Corinthians 11:31. For the endeavoring for the keeping of the Spirit and the bond of the peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, which is one Yahweh, one faith. Faith, parentheses, my comment at this point is faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. And when I say everlasting covenant, I'm talking about one covenant. And that's one that was made, that Moses made the children of Israel there in Exodus 24:8. He enjoined that covenant, the everlasting covenant, unto the children of Israel by the blood of the animal. Forever. One Lord, one faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, one baptism, one God, that would be Yahweh, and Father of all, that would be Yahweh, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, Ephesians 4:3-6. But I'd have you know that the head of every man is the Christ, that be the Messiah. Get used to that word, Messiah, because that's the correct paleo word, Hebrew word, that was originally given as a title of Yeshua. That's his title. Yeshua is his name, the Son, but Messiah is his title, meaning Yahweh with us, or meaning Yahweh in the flesh with us, and the flesh of his Son is with us by him, by the Spirit of the Yahweh through his Son and the flesh. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yeshua is the Yahweh. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. For the devils also believe and tremble. Well, the devils also believe there's one God. But they're the one, the old devils are the one that invented that lie about the three gods in the heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three co-equals, and they're co-eternal. None of them have any beginning, and they don't want any of them have any ending. For the Paul and the James are pretty clear that there is only one God, and that's Yahweh, and that he is the Father of the Jesus Christ, that is, he's the Father of the Yeshua, Messiah. He is also the head of the Yeshua, Messiah, and above every earthly ruler. For the devils also believe that there is only one God, the Yahweh. Yet they deceive you into believing that there are three gods. So what does Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah himself, say about the only true God, the only true Yahweh, the Father? For these words spake Yeshua and lifted up his eyes unto heaven and said, Father, for the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know thee as the only true God, Yahweh the Father, and Yahshua, or Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John 17:1-15. You know, I just had a new divine revelation while reading this, that Yahweh has always went by one name. That was the original Yahweh. And Yahshua, his Son, only went by one name. The first part of Yahshua's name, the Son, is Yahweh's name. The last part identifies the Son. The first part and the second part of Yahweh's name, Yahweh, talks about Eliyahu, E-L-I-Y-A-H-U, that would be two parts of Yahweh's name. So Yahweh does have an identity as Eliyah, as well as Yahweh. Son also has different identities. But the main number one name is Yahweh and the Father and Yahshua the Son, which you would call the hard nouns. When you start talking about nouns, whether they're just regular nouns or hard nouns, Yahshua makes it, Jesus makes it pretty clear that he is the Son of his, and his Father is the only true Yahweh, or the only true God. Thus, if Jesus is God, then he must be a false God, because there is only one true God, and that is the Father who dwells in the heaven. So if you don't believe that the Father is the only true God, then you don't have eternal life. Did his disciples believe that Yahshua was the very God? Now, I also will tell you that it's much easier to understand these principles if you use all the words of the English language correctly in their proper place and order. There's so much of these key words that are left out that belong in all of the writings of the scriptures or any kind of writings that's in the English language. There's key words that's left out in both the spiritual and the secular books of the world. I'm going to read this paragraph again to you and show you what I mean. For the Yahshua, Son, and then from now on, instead of saying Yahshua Christ or Jesus Christ, I'm going to say Yahshua, his main surname is Yahshua, and then I'm going to put the Son. And when I say Yahweh, that's your hard noun for the Father's name. Then I'm going to say Father, Yahweh the Son. I mean Yahweh the Father. So it's going to be Yahweh the Father, Yahshua the Son. And that way we get to the point. For the Yahshua the Son makes it clear he is the Son of his Father. He is the only true God. Now you see we have a preposition left out here. Right after the verb is, there's a key preposition that belongs after that word is, and it's left out. And I'm going to put it in there. Is as the only true Yahweh, the Father. So if I use a sacred name, and then I put the title behind the sacred name, it will be the title of the Father or the title as the Son. That's your true title. Thus, if Yahshua, Jesus, is God, as I was telling you, I'm correcting some, putting some words in there that are missing. It should read, Yahshua is the God, which he ain't, that's my language. So I'm going to do it again. If the Yahshua is the Son, is actually playing a double role of being the Father and Son, so then would he actually be the Father, or can he be the Father and the Son? Then he must be a false God, okay, because there is only one true God, and that is the Father who dwells in the heaven. So if you don't believe that the Father is the only true God, Yahweh, then you don't have eternal life. Do his disciples believe that Jesus was the very God? Question mark. Then said the Yahshua, the Son, unto the 12 disciples, will ye also go away? Then the Simon Peter answered him, Lord, meaning Yahshua, unto whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of the eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Son of the living Yahweh. John 6:67-69, it says that thou art Christ, the Son of the living Yahweh. Well, first place, his name is not Christ, and God is not his Father's name, so what's the language Alan is using here? He's using the language of the pagan heathen. Okay, so I'll read it with the transliteration from the Hebrew. It would be, and the thing is, when you transliterate a sacred name from the Hebrew, it doesn't transliterate. It remains the same in the English language or in all the languages of the world, wherever language that they use it in. It's still called the same that the Paleo-Hebrew originally named them. So, let's do that. And we believe that and sure that thou art the Yahshua as the Son of the living Yahweh, the Father, John 6:67-69. Now we cleared up another point. You can't transliterate the sacred name into another alphabet. You have to take the original sacred name and the alphabet that formed that sacred name in the Paleo-Hebrew, and you bring that and you transliterate it over into the English language, and it don't transliterate. Those alphabets that form the word Yahweh, or the name Yahweh, Because we have those same letters that form Yahweh, we have those also in our English alphabet. WHWH. Right, it says, when the Yahshua, the Son, came into the coast of the Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Yahshua, the Son of the living Yahweh." And Yahshua answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, why did Yahshua say the flesh and blood didn't reveal? Because Yahshua is in the flesh and blood of the fallen humanity. He himself hadn't personally fallen into sin at all, but he had taken on the form of fallen man, and he was in the flesh and blood that they're in. So that's the reason why he said to Peter, I'm not the one that give you that understanding. No. It's my Father only. Because flesh and the blood has not give that to you. And I'm in the same kind of flesh and blood that you're in. So I didn't give it to you. But it's the Holy Spirit gave it to you. But my Father which is in heaven, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my temple. I'm going to take you, instead of that pagan named church, I'm going to start putting tabernacle or temple in the place of it. I'm going to build my tabernacle. I'm going to build my city Zion. I'm going to build my city Zion. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my tabernacle, temple. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, for the gates of hell has certainly been opened up against the Seventh-day Adventist Church and all the churches of the world. And it has very much prevailed up to this point. They have prevailed. The gates of hell have prevailed against the Adventist Church. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of the heaven." Okay, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Yahshua, the Messiah. In other words, Yahshua, the Son in the flesh, representing his Father from heaven. Matthew 16:13-20. If the Yahshua, the Son, is Yahweh, the God, the Father, why did he not chastise Peter for calling him the Son of the living God, Yahweh? Because Jesus, Yahshua the Son, knew that Peter was right and that his Father in the heaven had revealed it unto him. Thus, because Peter and all the disciples believed that Jesus the Son was the Son of the God of Yahweh in the heaven, and not the very God himself, they were given the keys of the kingdom of the heaven. Likewise today, all who believe that Jesus is the Son of the man and the Son of the Yahweh, and not the very God Yahweh the Father himself, shall inherit the keys to the kingdom of the heaven. And all those who believe that Yahshua, the Son, is God the Father will be cast into outer darkness, there to weep and to gnash your teeth. I just had the Holy Spirit come over me at this very second when I read that word, cast into outer darkness. That word cast goes with another scripture there in Revelation 19:20. Let's go read it. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. See, now who was this sitting on the horse? Yahshua, the Son of the living Yahweh from heaven. Yahweh sent him from heaven. Yahweh stayed in heaven. And he sent his Son in these last days, right here in the very last days, in the 12th hour, and his army. And he says, the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies were gathered together to meet this king from heaven, Yahshua, with his army, to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of the fire burning with the brimstone. So what all was cast into the fire? The beast and the false prophet with their armies, and those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast, all of these were cast into a lake of fire right here in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now. Sometime on down the line, this will happen at the appointed time. And then they said that there is a remnant that was left after this happened to the beast, the false prophet, and his armies. It says, and the remnant was slain, those that didn't, that weren't cast into the lake of fire, with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. There's only one man and one horse that's leading this great army. He's the one that triumphed over the beast and the false prophet and his army. And all of those that they had deceived and taken the mark of the beast, they were all cast alive into a lake of burning fire. That's cast out into outer darkness. That's cast into the bottomless pit. That's your outer darkness. Okay. That's part of it. That's some of it. That's part of it. No gods before me. This is our next title. We just got a few minutes left. And on tape one of this article, but we're going to do a tape two, and however many it takes to get through it. And yeah, and God spake, God the Father spake all these words. Yahweh the God, the Father spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahweh, I am the Lord thy God, I am the Yahweh thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of the Egypt. This is wrong. This is wrong. The translators were bribed into corrupting the sacred names in both the Old and New Testament. Let's go back and correct this now. This is taken from Exodus 20, verse 1 to 3. And the Yahweh spake, and the Yahshua, the Son, spake all these words, saying, I am the Yahshua, thy Savior, King, and Redeemer, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now watch this. Alright. Now, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. Okay. Exodus 7, 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now, is this Lord, is this God the Father in heaven? Is this Yahweh the Father? Yes, I believe it is. And the Yahweh, the Father in heaven, said unto Moses, see, I have made you a Yahweh unto Pharaoh. Well, when Yahweh spoke unto Moses, was Yahweh in heaven or was he on earth? Now, I have learned one thing, if nothing else, that the translators of the Bible were bribed into taking the sacred names out of the Bible and putting these pagan titles of Lord God and Jesus in the place of Yahweh, Elohim, Yeshua, so that you would lose the understanding that whenever you was talking about the Father, you wouldn't know whether you was talking about the Son or the Father. But I did learn one thing. They said that the translator did, though, they put, if they were talking about the Son, they put Lord in the upper and the lower case. If they were talking about the Father as Lord, they'd put him in all upper cases, all capital letters. Now, I do have that one Q in the Bible, from what I've learned. And so whenever I say, and I read to you from Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, and it's, and the Lord, upper and lower case, then the translator was identifying Yahshua the Son through that upper and lower case. Said unto the Moses, see, I have made thee a God, lowercase, all lowercase, G-O-D, no upper and lowercase. It's all lowercase. If it was God, G-O-D, uppercase, starting with the first letter being the uppercase, and the next two letters, O-D, would be in the lowercase, it would be referring to the Son, Yahshua. But if God was all uppercase, G-O-D, all capital letters, they'd be referring to the Father. And if Lord was all uppercase, it'd be referring to the Father. But since God is all lowercase, there's no capital at all in it, it would be talking about another God outside of the Father and the Son. So who is this actually talking to Moses? This is Yahshua the Son. Okay, so he's telling Moses, I have made you like a deity. I have made you a deity, and also I've made Aaron a deity. You and Aaron together are a deity, or you're in my place. To Pharaoh, you're the visible representation of me. And I'm the invisible representation of my Father sent from heaven. And I have been given all authority here on earth to conduct business for the plan of salvation for the for fallen mankind. So this is Yahshua meeting Moses at the burning bush. There and meeting him at the burning bush. And so I'm going to finish this sermon, number one, part one. I'm going to finish it with 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see what Paul has to say about this subject that he read about here in Exodus, or there in Exodus. And I'm going to read to you now what Paul has to say about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, let's read verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant of how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the rock and in the sea. Why were they baptized unto Moses in the cloud? What was in that cloud that they were baptized unto? Paul is fixing to tell us here. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink from the same spiritual drink? I put the preposition from in there that's missing. And all did drink, or of, preposition of, let's do that again, verse 4. And did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock. that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua. So did God the Father come down here and meet with Moses and send him down to Egypt and says, I've made you a god unto Pharaoh? And then he says, now that I've done all this, I'm going to send my son now, and he's going to be the one that's going to actually bring you out of Egypt, because I'm going to put him in that cloud above you, and he's going to be that rock in the cloud. He's going to represent me in that cloud. Did the Father have to come down and do all that? Did the Son have the ability to do all that? Well, he says in another place that his Son has inherited all things, at the time that he made a covenant with the Father in the beginning, that if man were to sin in this world, that he would be a propitiation for their sins, and he would die for their sins, and he would pay the bountiful price for the redeeming of mankind in case he's a fall into sin. Well, mankind fell into sin right off the very beginning, not from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, and so Yahshua had to then take up his role as a deliverer at that very moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And so the rest of it is history. Yahshua is a written word in both the Old and New Testament, because we have that testimony there in Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, where it says, he hath his name, the scripture name for him in the Old Testament is Abaddon, meaning a destroyer of many of his enemies. And in the New Testament, hath his name Apollyon in the Greek, meaning the same thing, exterminator of all of his enemies. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 says he's the Word, and the Word was in the beginning with the Father, and the Word represents the Father here on this earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
It's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven. It's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. It's not an easy road, but the safe Lord is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. It's not an easy road. There are trials and trouble, and many are the dangers we meet. But Yahshua guards and keeps so that nothing can harm us. Smooth the rugged path for our feet. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Yahshua walks beside them and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy load. Though I am often footsore and weary from travel, though I am often bowed down with cares, a better day is coming when from him the glory will rest in perfect peace over Yahshua walks beside me, and bright and young.